This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
One of the greatest rock albums of all time. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, one of the greatest talk shows of all time. I am Paul Molloy. Thank you. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you, thank you, thank you, as Joe Biden would say, for joining us on this Friday, March the 8th. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Veronique DeRugge of the Mercatus Center is going to join us. We are going to talk about the Biden administration's decision to cap credit card late fees at $8, a move that she says is going to force lenders to bypass those that need credit the most. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And did you watch the State of the Union speech last night? Joe Biden finally delivered the speech. Hey, it's the latest that's ever been delivered, by the way. Did you know that? How'd he do? We're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it during the show, so stay tuned for that as well. And listen to this. We're going to tell you five things that you can do to live longer, no matter what your genetic predisposition is. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 least stressful states. That'll help you live longer, too, if you go to one of them. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay. I have never found a better place than the Andrew Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, gentlemen. 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree growth, tree removal, stump grinding, you name it, if it has to do with a tree, call ArborLife. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So this hot off the wire this morning. The numbers are in for February. The Labor Department says that U.S. employers added 275,000 jobs in February. That is higher than the estimate of the 200,000, and the average monthly gain of about 255,000 last year. Along with that, the unemployment rate ticked up a bit. It went up to 3.9%. compared to the 3.7% they estimated. Still, the big gain in January, which was 353,000, not surprisingly, that has been revised downward. They now say that was 229,000. So if that is the case, and if these numbers in February hold up, February is a better month than January this year. Now, they say growth was driven by healthcare hiring and, of course, government employees. Boy, we can never have too many government employees, right? Do you know how many millions of people work for the government? It's scary. No wonder things are so bad. We got too many people working in the government, not enough in the private sector. Another growth area was the food service industry. By the way, aren't they raising the prices of hamburger? Have you gone to McDonald's recently and ordered a Big Mac, a large fry, and a milkshake? Do you know it's gone up about 30%? Man, oh man. Average hourly earnings, which is a big measure of inflation, hourly earnings increased 0.1% for the month. And that's 4.3% above the same time 1 year ago. Now, it's been offset by inflation. Inflation is higher. So we have actually lost buying power. We're losing buying, but don't listen to what Biden says about how great things are. Things are not great. All you got to do is go to the grocery store, go to the restaurant, go to the gas station. You'll see it's not as great as he wants to tell you. So, did you watch the speech last night, Ed? It was between watching the paint dry in my bathroom on the wall or watching the Biden speech. I decided to watch the speech.
I was going to use an analogy of a root canal.
Yeah.
Would have been.
I probably would have done the root canal.
I found myself yelling at the TV. To start with, first thing I did.
It's a common thing when Biden is talking.
I looked over at Lisa and I go, what country are we in? Are we in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Because he started the whole thing off talking about Ukraine. And I started writing down some notes and I figured, you know what? I'm not gonna. Because this is gonna stick in my head.
Yeah.
First of all, this I call them the SEAL squad. The ones that stood up and clapped every time he said something.
Oh, yeah, the barking
which,
seals.
Which, as you can see, was all orchestrated by Kamala Harris. If you notice, every time she stood was the signal for everybody else to stand. Well, the other seals to stand up.
Yeah.
But what stands out to me the most is, starting with Ukraine, the border is the number one thing on voters' minds right now. He waited almost 50 minutes into the speech.
That's true.
And he nestled that in with, guess what? Green energy. That's how important it is. And one of the other things he said, screaming, of course, and I don't know what they gave him last night. Either he took a very long nap, and I would drug test him today, because they must have given him Adderall or something, because it's totally different. And screaming into the mic. And the one thing that ticks me to no end is for him to say, no American child should go to bed hungry. Well, guess what? They are. You know who's not going to bed hungry? Migrant children. And if you call them newcomers, one more time, this is not the movie Aliens, where they're newcomers to the planet.
Newcomers, right.
Yeah. They're illegal aliens.
Yeah.
Those kids are not going to bed hungry because their parents have a nice $1,000 gift card that they can go out and get food anytime they want.
Did you hear that some of the Democrats were upset that when Marjorie Taylor Greene made him admit that woman in Georgia that was killed... He called the guy.
Lakenwriter.
Called the guy. Yeah, he misnamed him.
Not Lincoln, the football coach.
I know. But he also, he called the guy that killed her an illegal, and that set off some Republican. They don't want him to say illegal. They want him to say migrant, or they want him to say something nice and soft.
But then he said thousands are being killed. Like, so what? When you said thousands are killing because of the fentanyl they're bringing in. But in other words, it was almost to say, yes, your child was killed by an illegal woman, but thousands are being killed by illegal immigrants because of the fentanyl. And don't give me that. I know what it's like to lose a child. He lost a child because of an illness. Not somebody taken in their prime with no warning whatsoever. It's a bit of a difference. You can't prepare for an illness.
He did have the loss of a daughter in a car crash and his first wife. I think we do have to give him that. Yeah. It was traumatic for anybody. It would be. I will grant him that. But you're right. He uses Beau Biden's death, and then he even, Why sully his son's death by saying he was taken from me? He has actually tried to connect it to the war, to his being in the military. I mean, come on. Nobody, you can't link that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk more about that later. We're going to take our break now, and when we come back, Veronique DeRugge is going to join us. We are going to talk with her about the Biden administration's decision to cap credit card late fees at $8.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Friday, and banking and credit card companies, they have started reacting. There is a new Biden administration rule. It puts an $8 ceiling on credit card late fees. Here is the CEO and American Bankers Association President Rob Nichols. He said in a press release, he said, This flawed final rule will not only reduce competition and increase the cost of credit, it will also result in more late payments, higher debt, lower credit scores, and reduced credit access for those who need it the most. We are delighted to have back Veronique DeRugge. She is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and she has written about this situation. Veronique, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. So this $8 cap, first of all, the government has no business interfering in how credit card companies want to charge people. In the free market, if a credit card company wants to raise a fee, lots of people take a look at it, they'll move to another credit card company. And that's the way the free market works. But they've decided that they're going to do this. What is the thinking, do you think, Veronique, behind the cap of this credit card late fee?
I think they believe that whatever fee is not the fee that they would like to see is one that's the product of greed and customer abuse. I really think that they don't believe that it is the product of companies assessing the risk of that they face when they have customers paying you know their credit cards or being able to actually roll over their credit card debt. That's really what we're talking about.
Right? Sure.
And so I think they think it's abuse. Of course, one of the things that you said in your intro, which is absolutely right about the free market, that is actually telling you everything you know about the fact that if really those fees could be as low as the administration wants or the bureaucrats in this administration want, right? Someone would be offering a card with much lower rates.
Right.
And I'm sure that they exist. It's the same for their bill on overdraft fees that they're passing too. It's just basically if really that fee consumer face it was possible to face the same risk for the banks, but at much lower rates, someone would offer it.
Indeed. So this is actually coming from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They call the prices of bank overdraft protection junk fees. And you say the result's going to be actually a fewer lines of credit for those people who need credit the most.
Well, so none of us like to pay those fees. But the reality is that it's like on the overdraft fees, for instance, it's optional, right? You can opt out of that service. And then if you try to withdraw money and you don't have enough money in your account, you will not be getting the money, no matter how urgent it is. If you are sending a check and you don't have enough money in your account, your check will bounce. That's an option, right? And the problem is that if they're actually lowering the fees on these overdrafts, what is likely to happen is that the only option that consumers will face is one where they cannot actually go into overdraft.
Sure.
And so everyone will see, the people who need it the most, right, will lose that flexibility. And it will make things much harder for everyone.
You would think these people that are in the CFPB, the Consumer Protection Bureau, would know this. They know this. They know that these things will happen. They know that this is going to make it harder for people who really do need some of this credit. They're going to be the ones that the banks will be afraid to allow, this option.
I don't know. They've been told, for sure. I think that their preconception against the bank and their belief that these fees are so high and it can only be the product of banks abusing consumers, I really think that belief is very strong with these guys, and I just don't think they're thinking. They're in the feel good business, right?
Yes.
They're like, here is the world we'd like to see, is a world where there are no fees and where you can bounce when you can spend more than you have and not pay any cost for it, and that's what they're trying to do.
So, has this rule now technically gone into effect? Has it already taken place? I say that because can we start noticing, with our credit cards, et cetera, that they're going to be, making this announcement? When will all of this take effect?
So I don't know actually about this. I don't know. I think there's always going to be a while there. I don't know if it's finalized.
Okay.
But I know that even if it is, usually they give the bank a certain amount of time to implement it. So it's not going to happen immediately, no matter what.
Is this something that they say a bank could go to court on and say, you don't have the executive branch do not have the authority? This is not within your purview. You're only supposed to execute the law. You're not supposed to be making law like this.
So it's interesting. I think there is a very strong case that the CFPB is actually not, the funding for the CFPB is actually not constitutional. And I think that the more they do stupid things like this, the more likely someone is going to try to take it to the court. The question is when the right case will arise, and I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really answer your question.
No, I understand.
These are some of the things that I've heard.
Yes. We're talking with Veronique Durugi. She is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. She also has a popular weekly column addressing economic issues, things like creating sustainable economic growth, to the implications of government tax and fiscal policies. By the way, Veronique, did you watch President Biden's State of the Union speech last night by any chance?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
You're in luck.
Yeah, I know. I was just not, I just didn't want to subject myself. I felt that reading it was enough pain.
I think you're right. Well, she goes after...
I dislike the State of the Union. Yes. I just really dislike it. And no matter who's in office, but this, I was worried for a variety of reasons. I was just like, I just don't want to subject myself to this.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, he went after the wealthy. They want to raise taxes again on the wealthy and all this nonsense. If I hear one more time that the rich have to pay their fair share, I'm going to throw a brick through the TV. I mean,
It's really... Chris Edwards at the Cato Institute put out some charts, which I posted at the corner in preparation for this, that shows that the top 1%, right, pays roughly 40% of all federal taxes. And even though I think it makes like 20% of all revenue, and it also the average, I know the administration claims that the rate they pay is something like 8%, when really actually it's more like 35%.
Yeah.
So it's like it's nonsense. It's nonsense. And you know what's nonsense? Is they keep beating up that drum, where really when it boils down to it, even the Democrats don't want to levy higher taxes on the rich. Because a lot of them are their voters.
That's right. Oh, there's no question.
And it won't do anything.
No, they won't.
It's just there won't be enough. You can confiscate all the money from all the rich people. First, it's the one-time thing you could do. And it really wouldn't, it would be a drop of water in the scale of our debt.
Yeah, and doesn't something like almost half of our country, the bottom half, pay virtually nothing in taxes anyway? If you go and look... Half our country, the bottom half, pay very little, if any. And like you say, the top 10% of our country must be paying close to 70% of all the federal revenue that goes into the government.
Yeah, so it's roughly, I think now, 42% don't pay the federal income tax. But when you add the payroll tax, I think it's more like 15%. But then, you know, at the lower, in the lower bracket, people actually get money back, because there's just a lot of refundable tax credits. So it's not just that they don't pay any taxes, it's that they get money back.
You know, this divide and conquer mentality of people like Joe Biden, you know, to go after wealthy people. First of all, he's wealthy. All of the friends he knows are wealthy. So they're just winking and blinking and nodding back and forth. But they use this, you know, just to divide and conquer. I think it's terrible. It's almost Machiavellian to do it on a regular basis, but that's the way they seem to be. Veronique, it is a pleasure, as always, to talk with you. Keep up the good fight there and your great work at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Same to you, Veronique. Thank you. All right. Veronique Durugi, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to do a little more talking about that speech, and we're going to tell you five things you can do to live longer, no matter what your genetic predisposition.
Why do you build me up, buttercup, baby, just to let me down?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite hair cutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Donald Trump weighed in on the State of the Union speech last night. Trump blasted Biden in the speech, saying that Biden clearly, quote, suffers from a terminal case of Trump derangement syndrome. He said he was angry, mentally disturbed, and misrepresenting a lot of the facts concerning almost every subject he discussed. He said, but he got through it. He's still breathing, and they didn't have to carry him out in a straitjacket. Other than that, he said, I think he did a terrible job. Well, I thought, was Trump supposed to be fact-checking Biden during this? I don't know if he was really doing that or not, but we've got two of our buddies that probably watched the speech joining us, our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, and the Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. Guys, welcome to Freedom Works this morning. Let me ask you, Angelo, did you watch the speech last night? Did you have a brick in your hand to throw through the screen? Or?
I was watching it, then I had to go on to another channel. I couldn't stand what he was talking about, and go back and forth, because he was talking really, he kept mentioning my predecessor.
Yes. I'm just talking with somebody about the fact he said my predecessor. She said he couldn't possibly say my predator.
I know. My predecessor.
Yes.
And then he slams the Supreme Court right to their face.
Well, he's not the first one to do that. Do you remember when
Obama did it
to one of the Supreme Court justices, Alito, I think it was. Mm. He said something kind of a little nasty about him. But, so overall, you were somewhat frustrated?
Everything he said, he just makes me sick. I just can't stand him anymore. Gotta get rid of him.
Okay.
Gotta get Trump back in. This country was a lot better than it is today.
Andrew, I trust you agree with your brother.
All I can say is methamphetamine, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. They had him so jigged up last night on methamphetamine, man. That's where the anger came out. And, my predecessor. And that, you know, he talked about everything he wants to do, but he never said where the money's coming from, number one.
I was waiting at one point for him to yell out, you damn kids, get off my lawn!
You're right.
Well, Hunter must have gave him the amphetamine.
We found the missing cocaine.
I was going to say, is that he found Hunter's... He found that White House cocaine bag, and he took it just before the speech.
He got into Hunter's stash.
Yes. So, There was a bunch of speechwriters that I guess found their way to a camera after the speech. Here was one. This is Bill McGurn. He served as the chief speechwriter for George W. Bush. He said, "This was the most partisan State of the Union I've heard in my lifetime."
Typically partisan, very partisan,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
He said, no outreach to Republicans, and the clear message was this: the era of big government is back with a vengeance. So that's one thought right there. Mark Thiessen, who also was a speechwriter, said Biden's speech was, quote, an utter disgrace. He said, attacking his opponent directly in the first minutes of his speech is unprecedented and perhaps the most partisan start to a State of the Union address in modern memory.
Now, there's where you tear up the speech. Where was the Speaker of the House now?
Yes.
Tearing up that speech.
That's right.
Yeah, this was not a State of the Union address. This was a campaign speech is what it was.
Because he's not going to debate Trump.
When you start off,
he's going to do.
When you start off with Ukraine, it's not the U.S. We're talking about the United States of America, and that Ukraine is not part of that. And to talk about that and Putin, and then the number one thing, everybody's mind with voting on whatever side you're on, is the border. And it takes you 50 minutes to get to that subject, and you squish it in between green energy.
Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, if Democrats think that, first of all, it's a totally forgettable speech, but isn't the State of the Union supposed to be a healing kind of come-together thing after,
yes,
you know, the year is beginning?
We've gone this far.
We're going for Boy, oh boy. And he said he was going to be the great healer. No, he's exactly the opposite.
It was a campaign speech. It was not a State of the Union.
No, it's like you said, it's a get off my lawn speech.
It is. That's all it was.
Yes, because he's then got to debate President Trump. He's going to debate, this was his debate speech. This is his campaign speech. You know, he's not going to debate Trump.
I don't think so either. I think they'd be nuts to allow him to debate Trump.
Yeah, you know, Paul? Yeah. One thing I got to mention is what we talked about the other day. Nobody mentioned about did he mention building the port in Gaza there?
I thought he did.
Well, yes. No, what they're going to do is the Army Corps of Engineers, they're going to build like an island offshore or close to shore, and our boots are not going to actually touch Gaza. They're going to remain in the water. And you're telling me that you're going to put these men
this is really scary
in a very small area with no escape route whatsoever and no
sitting
cover?
Ducks? Are they going to be sitting ducks?
What else would you call them?
Some idiot with a drone decides to drop something on them while they're out there. I mean, I just hate to think of what could happen.
Why would we do anything for Gaza anyway? That's why.
He's trying to appease his far left.
It's Israel's problem.
It's not even Israel's problem. They got a war going on, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to tell them to cease fire, right? Did anybody tell us to cease fire before World War II?
Did anybody
tell us to cease fire in Vietnam?
Did anybody say don't attack what happened after 9/11?
Yeah, I know.
What did George Bush say? Either you're with us or you're against us.
Against us.
He's willing to almost sacrifice a bunch of guys going over there. I say sacrifice.
And on the plane.
Put them in harm's way, though, right?
On the plane ride from Sarasota on 9/11, he called up the vice president and said, Dick, we need to find out who did this and kick their ass. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can give any more warning than that.
Right.
And nobody came in and said, hey, let's back off now.
Yeah.
Let's think about this for a couple of weeks, and we'll get some diplomatic things going.
The terrorists started the war in October, right? And I do not blame Israel for finishing it. You know what I'm saying? This is the war that they're fighting for their survival. Why should we be helping out Gaza? If those people were that concerned about it, they would have gotten rid of the terrorists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they voted Hamas in there to run their Gaza Strip and all that stuff. hey, they deserve it. You know, you should have stood up to these people and said, hey, get the hell out of here.
I wonder what Netanyahu did. Did Biden talk with Netanyahu about moving, doing this, building this, this water, whatever they're going to do? Did he talk to Netanyahu about this?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the first word he heard of it last night.
I mean, really?
Well, I can tell you this. Once you got the boots on the ground, brother, that's just the beginning of it.
Well, that's right. He's not putting boots on the ground.
No, exactly. No,
he's putting them on the water. That's okay.
He can say, I have no boots on the ground. They're offshore and by the water.
He actually said there will be no boots on the ground. But we're going to make our own island of Army Corps engineer docks and put them out there all by themselves.
That's right.
I don't think I'm talking out of school, but Andrew knew that there was something coming. He gave me a call the other night about it, and I said, "Oh no, Biden would never do anything like that." Well, it turns out he was right. He had heard that there was a possibility of something like this occurring, but I just can't understand it. How can anybody think that our putting a bunch of our military over there to do some construction of something like this in the middle of this? With all of these different factions going on, these crazies out there.
Well, he should send Hunter there. You know, he's got a lot of experience with that kind of stuff, just like he did the gasoline and the oil. He should send Hunter there to do that. Let's see what happens then. I guarantee you he won't send his son in the water over there.
No.
Guess what? His son wouldn't go.
Well, they said like they sent us to Vietnam, you know. I got to be honest with you, though. President Johnson's son-in-law was over there, Pat Nugent.
Back then were involved with the military. We don't have that anymore with our leaders.
No,
they were all draft dodgers.
That's right.
All woke right now. They're teaching, instead of teaching you how to fight a war, they're teaching you critical race theory or DEI.
So let me move on to whether or not we are ever going to see a debate between now and November. Between Biden and Trump.
Yeah, I don't think you will.
That all depends how much stash that Hunter has left.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that might be. I just cannot see his handlers, Biden's handlers, allowing him to get up there and actually have to take real questions from anybody.
Yeah, you got to remember, he was reading something last night. There's a difference between... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could tell he was squinting like crazy just to try and read the 5-inch letters.
Yeah. You know, did he not? He had a brain aneurysm at one time, and I'm not at all making fun of him. These things do happen in life. He had a brain aneurysm, and he doesn't enunciate very well anymore, right? It's getting worse. I mean, even when he's reading something and he can go at his own pace, it's so hard to listen to him. He scrabbles over the words as he talks.
Well, when you can't talk, you do it fast.
Yes.
So people don't be like, the woman we just had, Veronique.
Veronique, yes.
Veronique, mm-hmm. We couldn't say her last name. I told you, just say it fast.
You're seeing a fast decline in him because the more they use methamphetamines, the faster he's going to go down when he comes down.
We're making fun of that, but do you think that they did juice him up a little bit?
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. I guarantee you, if they gave him a drug test today, he'd blow the thing up.
I mean, I'd like to know. I've had some bad days before.
Yeah, I just wonder, with
where can
handlers,
I get some of that, by the way?
It would be...
do you have to be related to Hunter or not?
I'm not sure about that.
Look, the president of the Democratic Party, they themselves put this country into the situation that it's in. Their philosophies, their beliefs, this green energy stuff, and, getting rid of fossil fuels. This is their religion. This is what they believe in. And, half the American people obviously believe in it because they're saying this guy does a great job. So I got friends that I can't believe that they can't see what's going on.
Did you notice that you cannot verbalize what their game plan is? What's the game plan of Joe Biden? What is it that he's now going to do? You don't know what he's going to do because he doesn't have a game plan.
The game plan is
to stop Donald Trump.
Exactly. I was going to say the game plan is to talk about his predecessor.
That's it.
That's it.
There's no game plan.
I mean, the game plan is to say that the Republicans are going to destroy democracy in this country.
That's it.
Yes.
The game plan is, however bad we are, it would be worse if you have Donald Trump. That's their game plan.
Right. Their game plan is to destroy this country. You know, the other day, I was getting my car worked on at the car dealer, and there was this fellow there that, you know, he saw my jacket. I have an American thing on my sleeve and POW, and the guy goes, "Thank you for your service." I said, "Yeah, you're welcome, you know. I appreciate it."
Yeah.
And this guy was an immigrant from Hungary. He was born, he told me, in 1946, and he and his family came to the United States in 1967. And he was there, he asked me, do I remember when the Russians took over Hungary? Back in the 1950s, late in the middle 50s?
Yeah, about 56 50s. Or 57, yeah.
And he said his uncle, his mother's brother, there was a pounding on the door. They came and took the uncle away because he wouldn't go along with the communist stuff, you know, with moving to a commune and all that. And for 3.5 years.
Gosh.
And he says what the communists did, what the Russians did, the first thing they did was to take over the judicial department. They took over the judicial department, doing their kangaroo courts, and then they politicized the police department, weaponized the judicial department and the police department. And he says, I grew up seeing this, and the American people, he says, cannot recognize what's happening. They're turning this country into a communist country. That's what they want. And he says, I lived it.
He knows. He can see how we are subverting what we stand for. No, slowly but surely. The Democrats, I mean, it's like an acid being dripped on the Constitution.
Well, you got these people coming in from South America, Venezuela, Central America. You see what was happening. Remember Che Guevara, one of the communist guys during Fidel Castro?
Yes.
Getting all... trying to push communism down there, right? You had communism in Venezuela, the communist dictator, right? So all these people, they're coming here. They want to turn this country into a communist country. This is what this is all they know. I mean, you know, tearing down our statues. Look at the riots that they did, tearing down our history, destroying our statues, everything what America represented. And the American people don't see this?
Yeah, you know, the worst, the biggest crime is apathy.
Well, you're right.
We sit back and we allow it. We don't stand up and go, I've had enough. This is wrong, you know.
Where are the Americans? Where are they today?
That's it. It's apathy.
There are a few of us, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
In fact, there are a lot of us.
There are
a lot of us.
But we need more. We need more people. We've got to get more people to rise up and say, we've had enough of this.
We're trying to do it
with Trump. They're trying to, you know, people are finding a guy that they think will help get us back to what we're supposed to be.
And
Donald Trump right now is the savior.
That's their biggest fear.
That's their biggest fear. You're right.
It is.
Here's a guy that wraps himself in the American flag, and this is what they teach. They teach to hate America, hate what we stand for, what we did, this and that. Listen, this country's been around well over 200 and some odd years, right? Europe would be saying Heil Hitler if it wasn't for the United States. England wouldn't even be around if it wasn't for the United States.
Yeah, we saved the bacon twice. Of Europe.
How much blood was spilled on the Normandy beaches?
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, there was Canadian, there were French.
Thank God for the United States.
And yet, in the colleges and in the schools, in all these speeches that these Democrats, like AOC and the Tlaib, the squad, all they preach is America is the devil. And I'm getting tired of it, and the American people had better stand up for it.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right, Angelo. I love your passion. I love both of you and your passions.
I fought for this country.
Yes, you did.
And I saw a lot of friends die.
Yes, you did.
This country. I, I can't stand it anymore. They're destroying this country.
I absolutely, totally agree with you and your feelings.
One other thing, I don't know who they put to rebuttal after the speech.
Oh, that was that young senator from Alabama.
I'm the opposite. I had to turn her off. That was just too staged to me.
Mm-hmm.
Her constantly whimpering like she was going to start crying.
There was a lot of drama
in
her voice.
Just give me your views.
She went over the top. She was a bit of a soap opera.
It was too orchestrated for me.
Yeah.
I turned it off.
Yeah, I understand. I kind of agree with you on that. It came off as a little bit syrupy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you both for coming on to give us your reaction and...
Thank you for listening to my rant.
Of course. No, not a rant at all. We agree with you. Absolutely agree with you.
Got to get you something to warm you up for all that snow you've had up there, you know?
No, we've only had, for an area that usually gets 100 inches of snow, we've only had something like 42 inches. I mean, the last few weeks have been in the 70s.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We have to admit, it's been warm.
Well,
we've had warmth.
The other side's getting all the stuff now.
Yeah, I think
it's like a Canadian report. Pryor's like...
Someone else is getting all of it.
No snow. And then the year before, like, there's too much snow. It's too much snow.
Yeah. One of these days, it's going to turn the other way. I guarantee it. All right, guys, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. There they go. All right, going to take our final break. When we come back, I promise you, 5 things you can do to live longer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. Going to run quickly through here. I want to tell you 5 things you can do every day to help you live longer. Now, this comes from Dr. Gary Small. He's a memory, brain, and aging expert at Hackensack Meridian Health in New Jersey. And here they are. He says, number one, stay positive. He says, there's scientific evidence keeping a positive outlook helps live longer and healthier. Number two, be active. Numerous studies have linked regular physical activity to a longer life expectancy. Number three, eat well. Well, we know that. Healthy diet has a major impact on life expectancy by lowering the risk for heart disease, cancer, and other age-related illnesses. Number four, manage your stress, as chronic stress increases the risk for dementia and heart problems. He recommends incorporating a stress reduction program into your daily routine. And finally, number 5, take care of your health. Common chronic illnesses like high blood pressure and cholesterol levels increase the risk for cognitive decline. So there you go. All right. We're going to move right on, Ed, to our top 10. And if you remember, in our last show, we gave you the top 10 most stressful states to live in. So turnabout being fair play, the top 10 least stressful states to live in. This comes from travel.com, and here we go. Number 10. Would you believe New York? I can't believe it.
Well,
but New York is probably number 10.
Probably parts.
Yeah,
of
actually,
New York.
Upstate New York, don't you
way
think?
Up way up north.
The further away yeah from Manhattan you can get, right? Number 9. How about Rhode Island? Is anything going on in Rhode Island that's stressful? Other than your little state? I would say not too much. Maybe that's why it's number 9. I don't know. Number 8. Alaska. Well, it's lots of land and, I don't know, it's quiet. Nice and cold and quiet. I can see where there might be less stress in certain ways. More in others, though. Number 7. Massachusetts. I'm wondering why we've got all these eastern, northeastern states as being less stressful. Number 6. Now, this one I can kind of understand. Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, right smack dab in the middle of the country is Nebraska. They got beef and they got farm and corn. Mm. Yeah, number 5.
Did you ever go into a cornfield, just pull one off?
You know, eat I never raw did, corn? But I lived in Illinois and you could do that anywhere.
Raw corn.
Pull a raw corn cob.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good.
You're right. Right you are. Number 5. Minnesota. Land of 10,000 lakes.
A lot of ice fishing.
Yeah, you can enjoy the outdoor pastoral scenic view. Number 4, Oregon. I would say outside of Portland, probably yeah is. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, beautiful, beautiful state. Number 3, Hawaii. Now that one I understand. You know.
I can... But don't I can see think? It be a little stressful because of the prices of everything out there.
Ah, that's true.
But then I guess if you can, you know, if you can afford to live there, then it's not stressful.
No, I think
you can hit the beach every day.
You can hit the beach every day, and you've got great weather
you
all the time.
You can even ski at some point too.
Water ski? Oh, you mean up in the mountains?
Yeah, snow skiing.
Is there snow up there? In Hawaii?
I thought, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe, no, no, I'm thinking
I wouldn't
California
want to do that. You'd fall into a
I'm
volcano.
I'm not thinking of California.
There you go. Number 2, I would agree with this one, Maine. I think Maine would be a place to go where you could find some solace. Mm. All right, Ed, do you have any thought whatsoever of what the number one state is where you can have the least stress?
By North Carolina.
It's actually on the other side of the country, of the lower 48.
No, it's not California.
No, it's Washington.
Washington.
Yeah,
really?
It says here Washington is an idyllic Pacific Coast paradise with plenty of nature and top-class cities like Seattle. You'll get a dose of vitamin C, and they spell it S-E-A, vitamin C, and have your pick of peaks to summit. Now, I've been to Washington. I have a sister that lives out there. It's a beautiful state. There's a lot of cloudiness. A lot of cloudiness, but there's something serene about that state. Mm. So I can kind of understand it. Mm. How would you rank Florida?
Right in the middle.
Yeah. You can go either way on Florida.
Yeah.
You could be laying out on a beach, which is nice, but then you got all of these people driving all over the place all the time.
Yeah, that gets us stressed out.
It does. All right, thank you so very much for listening. We love it when you're here with us. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. The government says employers tacked on 275